Yeah, Acts chapter 16, as we carry on with our journey through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I will pray before we dig in. Heavenly Father, we have your word here open. And as we go through this passage in the book of Acts, we pray that we would hear from you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be active within us and help us to understand the meaning, learn, and then specific application you might have to our lives. We pray that we would have your direction in that. And we're so thankful that we have your word, your counsel to us. And we know that it is trustworthy and true. And Lord, I pray we would have a strong desire to know you and know your word. We pray that we would be built up in our faith. We pray for the children downstairs, that they would be encouraged in their faith, and that their faith would grow, just as our desire is our faith would grow as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Acts 16, and we're getting too far into the book of Acts to review every week. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus commanded or commissioned. And this is happening in the book of Acts. We see as the Holy Spirit came upon people, disciples, as Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit, and when you receive him, when he comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. And this is a fact. When the Holy Spirit is upon us, upon a person, a result is that we are witnesses of or for Jesus. So pray for that. It's offered to us. Pray for it. And we've already looked in previous chapters, Paul, many things, but say Paul and Barnabas's missionary journey, their first journey, Paul's first journey. They returned. There was some issue around the Judaizers and requiring the Gentiles to basically, you know, practice the law. And that got dealt with in Jerusalem. And a letter was sent out saying, no, you know, you don't have to practice circumcision and different rituals of the law. Salvation is through Christ. It's not through works. That was emphasized. Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement over whether to take John Mark with them on the next journey. And I won't go through all that. That was last week. The result of that being Barnabas went one way and Paul another, as far as being traveling companions. And as we're in chapter 16, it's Paul and Silas and others who are traveling city to city, preaching the gospel and encouraging the church, encouraging believers. So both were very important parts of their ministry. The gospel has got to go out for people to be saved and, well, to have, go and make disciples. You do need someone to accept Christ and to help them be a disciple of Christ. And so both things are very much a part of what they did. Shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection. Salvation is through Jesus alone. And then teaching people how to follow him. What does that look like, following him and teaching them the word? So verse chapter 16, starting verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So Jewish mother and Greek father. He was well spoken of by the brethren who are at Lystra and Iconium. So these are a couple places that Paul had been through previously. We don't know exact time frames. Maybe it's a couple years have passed since they were through. I've seen different commentators give different possible lengths of time, but it's not weeks. Think in the years. Travel was not quite as quick in those days. So they return, and there's believers there now. Well, there's people that accepted Christ when Paul and Barnabas and went through the first time, and now we see, hey, here's a guy named Timothy, a disciple. Now, on the first journey through, Derbe, it seemed like a success. In Lystra, this is where they consider Paul and Barnabas, there's a miracle, and they consider them, they want to worship them as gods, and then and eventually stoned him and left him for dead. So, some not great memories for Paul there. However, we do see that there is fruit from that time spent. So Timothy, like I said, Jewish mother, Greek father, was a disciple, it's noted. He was a follower of Jesus. Says he had a good reputation in the church. Timothy would go on to be so essential in Paul's ministry. Like, he was so dear to Paul. And Philippians 2, I'm going to turn there and just read what Paul has to say. Philippians 2, 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And we get a glimpse of how much Paul cared for Timothy there. As a son with his father. So, and this is where they meet, here in chapter 16. And one of the things that kind of catches my intention is Paul and those with him, they suffered an awful lot of hardship in these different places they went. It would be very easy, I think, to take a negative outlook on things. The personal toll was very high, heavy. Like when a group of men stoned someone in those days, it wasn't meant to teach them a lesson, in a sense. It was teaching everyone else a lesson, really, because it was an execution. That's what it was. And it's a miracle that Paul survived. We talked about it when we went through that passage. So it was miraculous. At the same time, he's still stoned with rocks. not pleasant. And not to mention all the other turmoil going on. But out of all that suffering, one of really Paul's greatest personal blessings, I think we can say, was Timothy, who walked with him in ministry and sharing the gospel. So we don't know what the Lord has in store for us at times as far as the why do certain things happen. But we do have to trust him for direction and also that our faithfulness will bear fruit. And Paul's faithfulness bore fruit. Timothy's an example of that. Now, verse 3, Paul wanted to have him, that's Timothy, go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So really the question, and especially considering what we went through, seeing the dispute over the Judaizers wanting to bring the requirement, the Jewish requirement of circumcision upon the Gentiles, and how Paul fought so hard against that. A question might be, what's Paul thinking here? It's not I thought this was not a requirement for salvation. And it's not. It's not. The thing is here, so Timothy's mother's Jewish, father's Greek. By Jewish law, Timothy was a Jew. So as far as Jews were concerned, his father is Greek, doesn't matter. He's Jewish. So that's an important detail. And so with Paul ministering and Timothy with him, this is really about their relationship with unbelieving Jews and the gospel. And so this is not about a salvation, get right before God thing. This is what's going to be most effective for the sake of the gospel. And we know that Paul was called to the Gentiles. We also know he desperately wanted his people to be saved. And while the bulk of his ministry was to Gentiles, we see over and over again he would share the gospel with his fellow people, the Jews. And he would go to synagogues and start there. Often end up beaten for that or something like that. But he had a heart that all people would be saved. And so this is we don't want to have any stumbling blocks in the way of the gospel thing. 1 Corinthians 9 and 19 on. I'm not going to turn there, but for more on Paul's kind of outlook, attitude on this, this is where he says he desires to be all things to all men, meaning I will give up my rights, certain rights that I have in order to benefit another at certain times. And we understand he would have sought the Lord on these things as to what were the right things to do at the right times. So this, Paul decided that this would happen. I'm sure Timothy had some questions on this as well, but regardless, this is what happened. But the distinction here, not a salvation thing, it's a gospel and trying to reach more people thing. And the Jews had some very stubborn mindsets, so they would have viewed Timothy very much as being Jewish, not Gentile. And so it becomes a bigger deal, would have been a bigger deal in their minds. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So kind of the apostles' doctrine, the words of Jesus. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So they share the gospel, but here's an example of where they go through, and as they find believers in different churches, they met in homes, and they encouraged them. They shared the word with them, encouraged them to follow Jesus. It's like that teaching and demonstrating how to be followers of Christ. And so they're strengthening the church. And we see verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in number. As the church grows strong in faith, the gospel goes out. And the gospel needs to go out. But the church also needs to be healthy, strong in faith. Otherwise, people come to faith and then there's no one to show them how to follow Christ. Or the examples may not be so good as to how to follow Christ. So, both important. The gospel needs to go out. The church needs to be strengthened in faith. And then the Lord will add to the church through that. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now this is the Roman province of Asia, not Asia like we would think of it. So, 7, and they had come to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So again, we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is stopping them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So they've been inland. Now this is to the coast. Take modern-day Turkey. And a vision appeared that they're traveling through. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia, Greece, that area, man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's an interesting portion of scripture here. A study of the New Testament, Paul's letters, particularly the book of Acts. Look at Paul, and this was he was a man, as Saul, unsaved, as Paul, saved, a man of action, determination. He was a guy on the move often. Seemed kind of a decisive kind of guy. And here we see that the group is on the move and they want to go a certain direction. Asia. Mysia. I kind of think, okay, we want to head, we want to veer to the right. No. Oh, well, let's head over to the left. No. They kind of keep going. It wasn't exactly straight, but they keep going ahead. They keep moving, keep praying, and kind of going east, I think, ish. And yeah, it's this thing here we see of like closed doors and then also open. And the thing that comes out here, one of the things is Paul and those with him didn't always know what to do. He didn't always know what to do. Not every idea was right in the sense of this was God's will that this should happen. How did they know that the Holy Spirit was forbidding them to preach the word in the Roman province of Asia? How did he not permit them the second time? And the thing is, we don't know exactly. We know how they went, oh, the Lord wants us to go to Macedonia, because it says in our text, they had a vision. The other two, we don't know for sure, but what is clear, they're going a direction and they're stopped. So it's not exactly a roadmap. Like, here you go, Paul, second missionary journey. Start point A and then just carry on, do your trip and come back. There is a seeking the Lord along the way, and we know from looking at Paul's life that he was a man of prayer. He was a man of the word. He was a man of prayer. He's a man who depended on the Holy Spirit. One thing that comes through in the book of Acts in different places is the relationship between the individual and the Holy Spirit. And it's very close. Like, how are they hearing this? And it's something that does need to be emphasized because it's so important. Now, we come from all different backgrounds. And so when we talk about things related to the Holy Spirit, it can bring up different images, experiences in our minds. And what we want to do is, you know, make sure that those things line up with what the Lord desires of us. So I grew up in a very reserved kind of denomination and didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. So the Holy Spirit then became, okay, there's a lot of strange stuff goes on in some circles, and we don't want any part of that weirdness. Right? And there can be the other, you know, side of it too, looking and going, you know, we go, well, I am used to these things. Or sometimes there is an experiences that aren't necessarily positive. What's being described here is a relationship, the Holy Spirit with the individual. It's not talking about weird things. This isn't even talking about, say, gifts of the Spirit, which can get, you know, people have different thoughts on them, how to exercise them. You find that in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. But we're in Acts 16, so I'm not going to get there today. They're hearing from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and they know. Prayer's got to be a big part of this. It just has to be. Time waiting on the Lord. Desire. We want to know that we have the Holy Spirit's blessing on this before we do it. Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, a man or a woman. I like that proverb. It speaks to making plans, but God being sovereign. I think it also speaks to the heart that is willing to make plans, but also willing to be directed by God. Prayerfully make plans, but be open to, at times, walking down a path, a direction, and find the door gets slammed shut for some reason or another. Keep talking to the Lord about it and seek his confirmation. I believe this is how you come to the place of going, yeah, the Holy Spirit is directing this. Also the general prayer, the macro, the big prayer of, which isn't, and what I mean by that is not like praying about every specific decision and situation, but the prayer of, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I desire that your Spirit be upon me, affecting my day-to-day, my thought processes, my decisions. And so, very important, and it just keeps coming up in the book of Acts, pray that the Holy Spirit would be upon us. We have so many challenges in life of so many varieties. And honestly, we're just not smart enough to figure it out on our own. Or perhaps we're too smart sometimes. And how does that work out? We have it all figured out. No, we want the Holy Spirit's direction. So, great picture here. Working through, where does the Lord want us to go? I think it's here. No. Here. No. Okay. It's over here. We've been praying about this, looking into this. We're not doing nothing. You know, we're focused on serving. But we desperately want God's, the Holy Spirit's confirmation in this. And they got it. So I look at this as something, a good thing as far as application is, and I speak of myself, each one of us, you know, am I persevering in this, seeking, like desperately want it, not casually, Lord, can you bless this, you know, what do you want me to do, whilst having, I know what I want to do. No, I desperately want your stamp on this, your seal on this. We know we can't do this in our own strength. We must have, and I believe this is the heart of Paul and those with him, we must have the Spirit's direction. We must have the Spirit upon us and moving. So, I find it interesting. So in the end, here's a vision. Macedonian man saying, come over here. And in that they conclude, hey, this is where now it's making sense. The Lord, we weren't figuring it out on our own, so he sent a vision. And they got right after it. So verse 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. A Roman colony. So just think, a lot of Roman influence there. And we are staying in that city for some days. Notice in here in six verse 11 says we ran a straight course. So Luke wrote Acts, and here he's with the party that's traveling and ministering, and they go. They ran a straight course. They had fair weather. What it meant. Took them a couple days. We'll see later on. Same trip took over twice as long. But they were going the right direction, and they had God's blessing, and they made great time. It's awesome to be in those seasons as well. Sometimes it feels like, yeah, it's another storm. Other times the wind is with you, and you can. It's not that God's blessing isn't there in the storms, but sometimes it's like, oh, we'll bask in the smooth sailing for a bit here. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. Thought is there probably no synagogue. It was normal practice for Paul to go to the synagogue. If there were 10 Jewish men or more, they would have a synagogue. No synagogue in Philippi is the thought. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So they've gone to Philippi. It's a significant city. At the time. To share the gospel there. And then if a church... a group of believers is established there, the gospel, they will affect the city and the surrounding territory. So they go down to the river, a place of prayer. They meet this woman, Lydia. And it says she worshiped God, so it would mean she worshiped God, the God of the Bible. She was not, as the Jews would want Gentiles to do, to convert to Judaism kind of idea. But there were those who feared God who were Gentiles that would be around the synagogue, or they would be seeking the Lord. So here they find this woman, Lydia, and our text says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So she most likely understands something of the God, the Jewish God or the God of the Bible, but not Jesus. And so as she hears about Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the need for a Savior, having faith in him. I like what our text says. The Lord opened her heart to heed these things. To hear and to, you know, there's some gravity to it. Like hear and it sinks in. And she believes. And is baptized. Her and her house. And this is an important thing, and something to be faithful in, is the Lord's working on a person's heart. And we can get frustrated sometimes, or, well, it's a challenge. There's people we know and love, and we just want them to put their trust in the Lord. And we don't know why. They can't see him for who he is. Pray that the Lord would open their hearts. Pray that the Holy Spirit would move in their lives and continue to be faithful. We never know. When someone may see the Lord Jesus for who he is. It is not our job, if you will, to convert someone. In fact, to make someone convert would be very much counterproductive, because it wouldn't actually be faith in Jesus. So this is the work of the Lord, between the Lord and an individual. And so we have an example of it here. And God put this together. You know, all along, they're seeking what direction to go, and then they end up here in Philippi, meet these women. This woman and her household are saved. And interestingly enough, it seems the Macedonian man turned out to be a woman. And not exactly in that sense. I mean, it's, to be careful today. I'm going to clarify that. But they were faithful to go, hey, here's people praying, we'll go share with them. It wasn't a group of men. That's fine. Being careful about getting too narrow of a view, like limiting God kind of thing. So Paul and those with him, their desire was to share the gospel with anybody who would listen. That vision of a Macedonian man, they didn't take it too literally. It's like, just here's the direction to go. Head over to Greece and see what the Lord, see what the Lord is doing there. It's and that vision is, it's really an invitation. Hey, this is where I want you to go. And then we're seeing the fruit of it here. Verse 16. Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain... Oh, hang on. Did I jump? No. 16, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So as they moved on from Lydia's house, okay, here's this girl, spirit of divination. We'll see further on in the text, demon possessed. That's what it means. And through the demon, she is able to amaze people through fortune-telling. Demons are intelligent. Don't underestimate them. Do not mess around with that stuff. Fallen angels is what they are. They're very powerful beings. And so, yeah, they can do amazing things. A person can do amazing things under their influence. It does not make them amazing. Their intent is to do evil. Verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, can't say I blame him, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. Paul did not enjoy having a demonic endorsement of his ministry. He recognized it for what it was. And you know, some might say, well, it's free advertising. It's the wrong advertising. The intent would never have been that anything good come out of it. Was that particular part truth? Yeah. But buy into that and the source, and then the lies will come mixed in with all kinds of deception. The devil and his forces, they are strategic. Ephesians 6. They're organized. So Paul puts up with it for a while. Why did he wait? It might have been a timing thing. Regardless, eventually he's like, go. And the demon is cast out. In all this too, there's a girl in bondage, and she's set free. And that's a very good thing. Like, imagine, oh sure, her masters are making money and she's got this gift. But it's demon possession, it's bondage. So it's a miracle. And then the masters of the girl realize this good thing they've had going is gone. And so they must have been making a fair amount of money because they got pretty upset. And they seized Paul and Silas. Verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. Such an over-the-top, seems like, reaction to this. But anyways, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. All for casting out a demon that was making someone a bit of money. And I also look and go, like, very touchy people here. Like, they're looking for an excuse to get to fly off the handle, which, you know, seems like our society is getting there. So very severe, beaten like sticks, like the intent is to do great damage. So they are beaten severely. Prison, stocks, like their legs are locked. Like they're the worst kind of criminals. One of the things that comes through in all of this is, I mean, these guys, they're servants of the Lord. They're amazing. The Holy Spirit's working in them, through them. There's so much fruit and blessing. But they went through hard stuff. And I was thinking, man, they were tough. Like, how tough do you have to be to keep... Like, I know the Lord was with them, but pain is still pain. Like, and this happened multiple times, that they would just take such a beating. And they would get back up. And if there was someone to share the gospel with or show the love of God, they would do it in a heartbeat. Verse 25, but at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What they aren't doing is whining. I would probably be whining. It would certainly be justified. I don't know. I hope we wouldn't be whining if we were in their shoes. But you can see how it could be. Like, Lord, why'd you let this happen? I mean, she was demon-possessed. What was I supposed to do? I thought it was a great thing. But here they are praying and singing hymns to God. This is amazing. And this is kind of why I'm pushing through to get into this portion of our chapter. Approaching trials and just the miserable of life with prayer and worship. It's really important. It's really God glorifying. It is, I think, in it, recognizing that he is sovereign and that he has plans and purposes that are bigger than us. I'm not going to turn there because of time, but 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's some homework. The enemy's coming upon Israel. King declares a fast. They pray. They seek God. Skimming just through it. There's a battle, but who goes in the front of the battle? The worshipers. The Lord won the battle. The people worship God, is the picture there. But have a look at that. You ever thought of that, fighting your battles through worship and prayer? It's powerful. 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul, calling with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This is amazing. It's a miracle. Chains are off. Doors open. Jailer's like, "They're gone. I'm dead. I'll kill myself." Is kind of what's happening there. If you lost your prisoners, it was a harsh time to live. So it wasn't going to get written up. It was going to be dead. And so, yeah, he's freaking out. And Paul says, "Hang on. We're all here. Settle down. It's fine." And he's like, wow. And he's struck by it all. 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs." Now he's calling them sirs. They were in chains moments ago. "What must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. So look at that. He's washing their wounds now. What a turn of events. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his heart. So, look at his response. They share the gospel with him, the simple gospel. Is after he says, "What must I do to be saved?" There's some conviction there. Something's going on. And he asks. He's open. And they tell him. We saw with Lydia, God opened her heart. He opened this man's too. And he and his household were saved and baptized. And they go from being chained in prison to the jailer. It's a beautiful picture. He's cleaning their wounds, bandaging their wounds kind of idea. And he is their host. And this is the kind of beautiful thing that happens when the Lord enters a life. And we'll finish the chapter. We'll add that into next week. We'll finish here. The power of the gospel gospel is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. And so amazing things were happening. And there's a lot in this chapter. Just a couple things. And I do pray when we go through scripture together that the Holy Spirit would really impress upon you those things from his word. That he really, really wants you to see. You know, I, or if it's someone else up here, you know, I go through and there's certain things we highlight. We don't go through every detail of everything. We try and get a sense of God's word and what's in our text. But it's so very important that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, just like Paul and Silas. Lord, what direction do you want me to go? Lord, what? And Lord, as in, Lord, Holy Spirit, what would you have me understand from you today? Is there an application or a direction to it? What is it? Please help me understand. And that with all the details in here, the thing kind of over it, relationship with God, relationship with the Holy Spirit, ability, like the, is it, I wouldn't call it, say ability is the wrong word, the desperation to, and persistence to hear, the desire. I believe the Lord will honor those kinds of desires that are coupled with obedience and, you know, practice. The battles, the prisons, the beatings, you know, various trials, James says, puts it lightly, really. Some are light, some are like, they're just beyond it all, it seems. Think about worshiping God, like prayer and worship, seeking the Lord in those times. I find it encouraging because it is, whether it's me at a certain time or it's someone else, and it's like, this is just hard. I don't know personally what to do, or maybe it's someone else. I don't know. But so that's why we have God's word, which is so much bigger than our circumstance and what's going on, to say, do this. This is what you're to do. And it might not be easy, but here's an example of someone else who didn't have it easy. And this is how I moved. So, great example. I really think that's a great example. Worship the Lord, whether we're on the mountaintops or at the depths of the valley. Worship God. Pray to him. And expect that God will be glorified. You may not see it right away. But there could be a Timothy down the road or something like that, fruit. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring to our attention what it is you're speaking, you would have us know and understand. You know, there's general knowledge and then there's specific things. You know us, you know every detail about us. And we're so thankful that we are your children and we can expect, well, we know that you love us. Heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. I pray that we would know that we know that. And Lord, as we seek you through each day, pray that our lives would bear fruit, and fruit that's directed by you. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.